The day, the big day is coming. The day is surely drawing near. A big day is coming up. What big day, of course, am I talking about? You know, we get excited about certain days, don't we? You know, could it be Thanksgiving Day's coming up? No, that's not what I'm talking about, but we do get to eat turkey, pie, and watch football, don't we, on that big day. And the Packers are playing this Thanksgiving, so there's a potential for there to be a grumpy Scott on that day. And then the day after that is another big day, right? Of course, that's Black Friday, where we all get those great shopping deals. That's a big day. So the big day I must be talking about must be Christmas, which is coming up. Family time, food, fun, decorations, gifts. Oh, and of course, Jesus. And by the way, there's 38 shopping days left, for all those that were wondering. This isn't the big day I'm talking about either. The big day that is surely drawing near is the last day, also known as the day of the Lord, also known as Judgment Day, also known as the second coming, also known as the day of Jesus Christ's return. And this is a day, a big day, that can come at any time. And it may even come before we get those Black Friday deals. You remember, by the way, on Black Friday, back in the day, back when I was young, you had to get up super early to stand in line. Seems like everybody's got it easier now, right? In the text today, we are going to hear the last words of the Old Testament from the prophet Malachi, who prophesied these words around 450 years before Jesus comes and was born on that first Christmas. So just a little bit here about Malachi. Malachi, his name means messenger of Yahweh, and he was the last prophet in Old Testament times, which is why his book of the Bible is the last book of the Old Testament. And he was prophesying to people to repent their sins, which is really what all the prophets were doing. The people were continuing to have problems with idolatry, intermarriage, marrying people of other nations who were worshiping other gods. There's corruption and greed amongst the priests. And Malachi talks about how the people were robbing God. They were robbing God by either not giving any tithes or offerings or barely giving anything. And that's what God says, you're robbing me. And so this is what Malachi was talking to the people about. And after Malachi, God's people didn't hear anything from him until around 400 years later when John the Baptist comes onto the scene. As you know, is the one that prepares the way for the Savior, Jesus. And so let's take a look at Malachi here, chapter 4, the last words of the Old Testament. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, aka John the Baptist, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And this is God's word. So there's two different things I want to talk to you here about, and they're divided into two things. The number two. The first thing we learn here from Malachi chapter 4 is, on that last day, there's going to be two types of people. The first is the arrogant and evildoers. So first off here, we should not read passages like this, thinking that our works determine where we spend eternity. People can get confused at times thinking they just have to be good enough. You know, as long as I'm not arrogant and not doing evil, I'm good enough. Well, Scripture is clear. I have a couple passages here. Very well known, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So this is what Malachi is getting at. In another passage here in Ephesians chapter 2, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So don't get confused when you hear this terminology in the Bible, the arrogant and the evildoers. Because keep in mind, we have all been guilty of being arrogant at times, right? We've all been guilty of doing evil, partaking of those sins in this world. We're all guilty of it. But that's why we come and confess our sins before God, who forgives us of our sins because of Jesus' death on that cross. The people Malachi is talking about here are those who, in their own pride, have rejected the gospel message of Jesus Christ and instead have embraced the wickedness of sin and live the way they want to live in this world. Simply, they are unbelievers. And Jesus is very clear, especially in verses like John 14:6, where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You notice that Jesus didn't say, "I am a way, a truth." No, he is the way. So the second group of people on that last day, it says here in Malachi, "those who fear my name." You know, in the English language, the word fear has a negative connotation, right? And so sometimes this phrase, "fear the Lord, fear God, fear my name," is confusing. This doesn't mean we are to be scared or terrified of God. When it says "fear the Lord" in the Bible, it means to stand in awe and reverence. That's fearing God. God wants us to fear him in that sense. He is our God, our Creator, and our Savior. How can we ever think of God with indifference or treat him lightly? Why would we not want to stand in awe and reverence of God? Not just when we're here at church, but every single day of the week. Those who fear the Lord are believers. We don't have to be scared or terrified of God or judgment day because of Jesus. You know, back to Malachi here for a little bit of context to chapter 4. So it says right before this, it says this in verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name." This book of remembrance here that Malachi is talking about is the same book that's being talked about in the book of Revelation and the book of life, where our names, those who fear the Lord, are written in it. But we are not in that book because of how good we are, but because of what Jesus did on our behalf. And this is why we stand in awe and reverence of our God. Because what he has done for us. So those are the two types of people that are going to be on there on Judgment Day. The last day. Now let's talk, the Malachi talks about two types of fire on the last day. But first, let's talk about this burning oven. The first reference of fire is what is awaiting those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is hell. And there is a hell. Scripture is very clear on this. A lot of people nowadays, even Christians, don't believe in hell. Don't think there really is a hell. Because you know why? Because it doesn't make us feel comfortable, does it? But that's a false teaching because there is a hell. There will be terror and joy on that last day. Because after this burning oven talk, where they will be burned, where there will be no more root or branch. And by the way, the Bible talks a lot about, you know, comparing heaven, or I mean hell, to with imagery of fire. That's not the worst part about hell. The worst part is that you are forever separated from God. No more chances. That's the worst part about hell. And then there's a second fire. Because after this burning oven talk, we get a big but. And you know how I love those in Scripture, those big buts. But the Son of Righteousness, spelled S-U-N, by the way, the sun and light are common descriptors of God in Scripture throughout. It's one of those crimson thread connections throughout the Bible, comparing God to the sun and the light that the sun gives. And the Son of Righteousness right here is most definitely the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know, the sun rises every morning. And the Son, S-O-N, was raised up on that cross with his arms spread wide so that he could have spikes driven through his hands. And then it says here in Malachi that this Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Oh, yes. There is healing in those spread out arms of Jesus for you and me. Because of Jesus spreading out his wings on that cross, you and I are free. We have been set free from the shackles of sin, death, and the devil. And then it says this amazing line. After this, you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Guess what? You and I are those calves. Do you think you're going to be called a cow this morning? We who have been saved through Jesus Christ go out with excitement and joy, much like the energy of a young calf that is released from the stall. You know, and because of what Jesus did for us, we get to shine the light of the sun, when we confess our faith to someone, when we read God's word with our kids and our grandkids, when we pray to God, when we give tithes and offerings to God, when we serve one another, when we share the gospel with one another, we are going out like calves with joy and energy because of the healing in his wings. And don't forget, as we talk about the last day, you know, a lot of people want to talk about, we're certainly in the end days. Well, guess what? Ever since Jesus died and rose again, ever since then, we've been in the dead end of days. But we don't have to fear those days or the upcoming judgment day, because Jesus took the wrath and judgment of God upon himself for us when he died on that cross. And because of that, we will go with Jesus on that big last day to live with him forever in heaven. Do you believe that? In Jesus' name, amen.